All right, welcome, nerds, geeks, and dreamers. You're listening to the ApoGeeks podcast, a collection of rants, tangents, and conversations surrounding the world of media and pop culture, including movies, TV, comics, and video games. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jack Russell, and joining me today is my fellow co-host, my Irish car bomb, Bradley McGinnis. How you doing, Bradley?
Hey, Jack, it's good to be here. Good to be here.
Was that offensive, by the way? I don't know how that's taken in Ireland.
No, Irish car, that's like a term of endearment, if anything.
Really? Because I was at a bar one time, and a bartender like got really mad at me for like using it in a pejorative sense, and they were like, people in Ireland will get offended.
No, they won't. That's full of crap.
Well, anyways, good to hear you doing well.
Absolutely.
A few points of housekeeping. First off, we've rebranded. I don't know if any of you have noticed. Maybe my friends and family will, but we've rebranded to the Apo Geeks. What are your thoughts on that name, Bradley?
I like it a lot. At first, I had no idea what the hell you were talking about. Then I looked into it. It made perfect sense. Also, I love the pocket protector icon that goes with it. Really hits on that geek vibe pretty hard. And the color scheme has changed. Makes it cold, hard, unfeeling, just like a typical science nerd. I like it.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping for, that you would eventually get there, because I was mentioning it to some coworkers, and a couple of them were like, if you don't have like a science degree or taken an astronomy class in school, like you don't really know what an apogee is, which I didn't know was not common knowledge.
Hey, it didn't, well, I eventually, I got there naturally, but it didn't like instantly click with me. It's good. That's how we separate, the winners from losers in our crowd.
Yeah, if you don't get it, we don't even want you listening, so GTFO.
You don't get it, you don't get it.
Well, yeah, so that's very cool, and we're now a podcast. You're listening to this, so obviously you know, but on top of our video content and our articles that we put up on our website at theapogeeks.com or youtube.com/theapogeeks, we're going to be in your ears. We're a podcast now.
We're invading everything, the eyes, the ears, almost all the senses. We might have smell-o-vision in the future. That's still in the works. That's prototype stage. That's experimental R&D.
We've got our top men on that, for sure.
Top men. No, but dude, it is a good route to go down. I'm glad you finally suggested it, because podcasts, they're extremely accessible. I mean, you can go anywhere, your car, walk out and about. You don't have to devote your attention to actually looking at video, so you can still, listen to whatever your heart's content is and not put yourself in a compromising situation or in danger.
And the best part is, I can be wearing whatever I want, anything or nothing.
And I assure you, I'm not going to tell you what he's wearing, because you probably don't want to know.
it's a mystery. I could be wearing jorts. I could be wearing a team building shirt that's way too large for me that I wear as pajamas. I could be wearing a merkin, a chindo.
And I could be wearing a kilt, even though I'm Irish. So, anything goes.
So, let's get into our main topic of the show, Bradley. Today, I would like to talk about robots. And I'm not talking about the dance move. I'm talking about giant mechs, or if you're like my dad, Robit, which is how he pronounces it, which is hilarious to me.
Like Zoidberg on Futurama. The Robit.
Are you a fan of Robits, Bradley? Any type?
Oh, that's, it's more like, it's better to say, hey, Brad, which robots aren't you a fan of? Because you want to talk about the weeboo in me just going all ham on every sorts of robots. The Transformers, the giant robots, the realistic robots, which are fewer and far between. I mean, I think I started with the whole giant robot thing. It was definitely Toonami way back in the day. Cartoon Network loved it. They had the primetime lineup, the Gundam Wing. That was the first time I ever did Gundams. And then Big O, which was probably one of the coolest, more realistic-esque robots I've ever seen in my life, because it's robots with piston-powered punches, and it's got a crime noir feel to it, which is actually a show I think your brother would love. But that was kind of when I first knew, like when I knew I loved everything from comics to anime. Like, I love giant robots. This is not a question. This is a core aspect of my personality.
Very nice. I love robots, too. Yes. There's a whole genre called mecha in Japanese pop culture. That's a mainstay. Including Gundam, like you said, and Evangelion, and we'll get to those later.
But
God, the list goes on.
Yeah. First, I wanted to talk about some robots that I don't like.
Robots
and ice. And ice. But go ahead.
Robots I don't like include Ticketmaster scalping robots. They always beat me to the punch. Are you serious? Like 3 minutes and boom, like it's gone. I couldn't get tickets to, you know, name a artist, you know?
Twitter bots
are annoying. Those eggshell, or it's not eggshells anymore, it's just a blank human silhouette of a nobody. Although I'm not in the dating game anymore, Tinderbots.
I was gonna say dating. Yes, Tinderbots, dating app apps. Oh, God, annoying. Those are back within the first 3 minutes of using said apps when I was naive. It's like, oh my God, she's unrealistically good looking and she's interested in me. Wait a minute, I see a pattern of this.
They're getting smarter too. Like I saw some screenshots because they have like, you know, they what do you call it? Pre like guess your responses and they try.
Yeah, they
go
have a preset range of responses that correspond with any hot words that you put in a message. I mean, unless if you're a nitwit going on it for the first time, you'll actually be roped in even easier than before.
Yeah, and then you know they'll eventually send you a link. Yeah, give us your credit card information so I can go help my sister or whatever. Like,
oh, I just need your credit card information to verify that you're over 18. Oh, okay.
And
only
I guess
14 times. Shame on you.
Exactly. And lastly, I guess killbots. I don't like killbots. What do you think about killbots?
You're talking for Futurama, the killbots.
Well, not in particular, but I mean those are included. But okay, so I'm talking about this story that came out recently, within the past month, where Elon Musk sat down with a bunch of top scientists in, I believe, the world, and they were coming together and saying, "Hey, we gotta sign like a not necessarily a truce, but something that says, hey, yeah, something that went along the lines of we cannot manufacture killbots for the good of humanity. Like every robot needs like a kill switch and something that tells it to not kill humans."
They've all watched Terminator. We don't want Judgment Day. That's exactly what that meeting was about. They just didn't want to say, "Hey guys, we all saw Terminator. We know where this is going. Let's stop it."
Yeah, but the thing is, like one country is going to do it. Like, it's always one that's like, okay, who was the first one to do, like, you know, stem cell research with, even though everyone else was like, hey, man, let's pump the brakes on
pool,
this.
Man.
It's China. Like, someone, probably China, but not necessarily China.
They're not going to be North Korea because they're not going to be advanced enough to pull it off.
Right, but one of them's going to create killbots, you know, against the wills of the robot UN or whatever body of governance there is.
It doesn't have to be the government. It'll be some guy in his freaking garage like, yes, I made this. Then the government's going to drop on it. It's like, whoa, we kind of shouldn't destroy this thing because it's awesome. And then they're just going to roll with it.
That's true. You could have indie robots like, you know, that. Is that a genre?
It is now.
Yeah, so, you know, I thought it was kind of like a weird thing where, you know, it's kind of like a false, what is it, a formality almost, where once they do it, we're going to have to create them to counter their killbots. So it's all a wash anyways. Why do we do that in the first place? You know?
It's not going to be an arms race anymore. It's going to be a robot race. That's a legit topic to talk about. And since we were on the Futurama thing before, I thought you were talking about the killbots. It's like, whoa, we're getting some Futurama stuff, which is great. Because I love that episode. Zach Brannigan's like, ah, yes, the killbot war. I exploited their one weakness. Each killbot has a set number of kills it can have before it deactivates, so I just sent waves upon waves of troops after them and made them shut.
So we've hit Zoidberg and the killbots. That's our second Futurama reference. Let's see if we can do a third and summon Fry or...
Oh, we're gonna get bite my shiny metal ass in there somewhere, I guarantee it.
And then, lastly, I think the most controversial of robots, especially in the West... toilet robots, aka bidets.
They see too much. I don't want them to talk.
They're not necessarily talking to you.
It's like having an internet history for your ass. I want nothing to do with it.
Quote of the freaking show. We got it out of the way early. That's amazing. Yeah, they're so popular in Japan, every toilet basically has one, you know, and in Europe too, and the United States is somehow, like, severely adverse to it. Why is that? Do we hold our butts in too high of an esteem or regard?
Clench too tight for the water to get in. That's the problem. I think it's a question of, I mean, I know everybody loves their luxury items, but I've never once considered until the advent of the bidet in other countries for a toilet to be a luxury item. It's always just been utility that I can use without thinking twice about it, or having to read a user manual to try to figure it out.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I feel like, and maybe this is just my poor skills, but I just need to go to a bathroom just for like a rewipe, or like, you know, you never get that feeling? Is it just me? Am I just really bad at wiping my ass? I don't know.
No, but if it's going to be a bidet, they might actually record that and be like, oh, I've noticed the increased frequency of you using the toilet. Do you need me to call a doctor? It would get to that. It would act like your own personal just toilet doctor. It could. If people want them advanced enough, you know they do. They want a personal potty assistant.
Toilet doctors. I like the sound of that.
Yeah, I'm sure many other people do too.
How about robot noises? Do you like robot sounds? Robot music?
Please, go into what robot music is. Please, just humor me on this one.
Well, first off, there's...
The first thing that comes to mind is the SpongeBob episode, Mr. Krabs. SpongeBob thinks Mr. Krabs is a robot. And he just... There's a dumbass song on the radio, and all it goes is beep, boop, 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 bop, beep, boop, bop. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of robot music.
That's, not a bad guess, but much too literal than I was getting at. I was thinking of, you know, Daft Punk, those robot boys.
Oh, yes, so more like EDM or Daft Punk.
Yeah, electronic or production-based music, I like to think, is, you know, robot music, basically.
But Daft Punk is right in the nose, because they practically look like robots all the time anyway.
That's the thing about Daft Punk, like, they could theoretically just be Daft Punk forever, and, like, no one would know if they died and swapped out.
Yeah, even when they're, yeah! It's more of a mantle, it's a title, it's not a person anymore. They could have switched, like, 3 times out, we wouldn't know.
Yeah, exactly, like, they've achieved immortality in music.
Dude, that's awesome, I kind of wish they do that. I really hope they do. Keep it going forever, it's brilliant.
Yeah, but I know all those, like, youths and millennials are into robot music, all those house parties, and they take Molly and listen to robot noises.
Start thinking they're actually robots, it's great.
Yeah, that ecstasy really messes with your head, doesn't it? Speaking of millennials, are fidget spinners robots? A very primitive form?
I mean, if they are, it's a mechanism. It is, technically you can. It's a simple robot, but yeah, it's a robot in and of itself, and I hate robot. Admitting that. No, that's the term, like a pulley, like lever system, a lever, you know, that's a simple robot.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the type of robots that, like, ride the short bus and, like, go to a special class.
The ones that got the leftover parts on the manufacturing line, they're running on a little too little RAM, they don't have a lot going on. You ask it to sharpen a pencil, and it stabs it in your arm. It doesn't know what to do.
Ah, got it. Okay. Glad we're on the same page about simple robots.
Simple robots. But unfortunately, yes, I would say fidget spinners do hit in that category. And God, you want to talk about... I never thought they'd become a thing, honestly. I thought they would... be one of the lamest fads of all time, and then they would just, people would kind of wise up, like, my God, this is stupid, and then they would throw it away. But no!
Yeah, it's a thing now, man. You have to reckon with it. You can't just ignore it now, you know? Like a fart after a Taco Bell meal, you know? You can't just ignore it. You have to deal with it.
Its presence is felt. It won't go away for a while. You just gotta ride it out. It's one of those things that somebody would go, forgive me if this was on Shark Tank and I didn't see it, but this is something that somebody would go on Shark Tank with, they would call it stupid, and the only way they could possibly redeem themselves with, like, a fidget spinner proposition is doing some, like, dank-ass sales numbers. But other than that, no way. They would laugh them off the stage. And then they would show them up later by making this a phenomenon and ruining my faith in humanity. So that's beside the point.
Okay, well, we've spent far too long on fidget spinners, and for that reason... I'm out of this topic.
Fair enough. Right. Kicking myself. Yeah, agreed.
Let's pivot onto why we're actually talking about robots in the first place. We both actually recently had the opportunity to play a game called Gundam Versus, and it was the beta or trial version that lasted for 2 days over this past weekend.
Shortest beta ever!
Yeah, why not give everyone a chance to play instead of opening it up for 2 days and not telling anyone?
Yeah, at least a week. I mean, dude, I love Gundam as much as anybody does. It's grew up with it. It's part of my robo DNA, and it's I didn't even get to go through all the mobile suits, like, and dick around with the controls. I'm angry at that. Hey, I couldn't play with you online. Yeah,
cool
yeah.
Feeling we, also.
I really wanted to play with you, but unfortunately that was not in the cards this past weekend. But anyway, but we did get enough hands-on time separately to form an opinion, so I just kind of wanted to get your initial feedback and thoughts on what you thought about the Gundam versus Beta.
I, for the time that I spent on it, got my hands on, I'm always, I pretty much did all the actual, like, Gundam units themselves, like, the main protagonist units, because I'm a dweeb like that, I love that, I'll always take them over the Zaku or whatever the opposing forces are, but the controls for each one, the same basic movements, everything, it's fast-paced, it goes really, the matches can go really quickly, and you have actually, like, no idea what's going on if you're not, they don't even have the training in the beta, so that was kind of a bummer, but you can learn in, like, the practice mode pretty easy. But each mobile suit, they don't even go the same speed. They have their differing handling to an extent, and they do each feel differently from, aside from their, like, base moveset, because not every unit has a beam saber or a beam rifle. Some of them have alternatives on that. It made each unit feel fresh, and I was digging the whole process. It really made me go have a trip down nostalgia lane. And for even suits that I had never really, like, seen in popular media before.
Yeah, the variety of mobile suits were honestly staggering. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play all of them because each one's moveset actually had, like, a modifier, like, you know, R1 for one character did something else for another character, but you could also hold a directional button to make it modify the behavior, but only for certain characters, which is really deep.
Not everything was, like, you know, not even all characters had dedicated alternative weapons for, like, the triggers, the R2 and the L2. Like, some way would just be a different maneuvering ability or, like, an enhanced melee effect. So it really, you have to get in there and try each unit or else you're not going to know what's going on.
Yeah, so for folks who don't know, you know, what this game is like, it's basically, is it a 2v2 brawler almost?
Yep.
Where you take control of giant mechs. And the mechs are kind of categorized into either melee emphasis characters, ranged emphasis characters, or hybrids.
Yeah, variable.
Yeah, and then your team shares a pool of points that the better your character is, the more points it costs when you die. So say you have 1,000 points when you start off. If your character costs $500, then you lose half of your team's pool, but your character is stronger.
So you're taking the weight. It's heavy. Like, at first I didn't even realize that. It's like, oh, I knew this thing had, like, a higher cost, and then as soon as I got in the match, oh, okay, carrying more of the brunt if I choose a higher cost unit. So that plays an important role in it. Because, of course, I choose, like, Wing Zero from the get-go. It's like, yes! I'm going to kill everything! And not so much.
Yeah, exactly. Did you have any particular favorite mobile suits that you were playing with?
I love the new Gundam. The NU Gundam. Because the Bitfalls on the back seemed like he had a pretty balanced set of moves. And he had the shield going on, which is crucial when you're actually, like, trying to preserve those hit points on your unit. I also love the Victory 2 Gundam, because it had, like, three different armament modes to it. It had the regular, the beefed up with the armor, and then it had, like, shoulder cannon to it. I just loved how different, even like that, some of these units could get if you just, like, switch out their armaments and their modes. Also Crossbow Gundam, Crossbones Gundam. They had a friggin' beam Gatling crossbow and just an absurd number of side moves I couldn't even remember.
That was crazy.
I mean, he had, like, a beam whip stego tail thing. It was glorious.
So now I only played the practice mode because I was so busy trying to figure out all the characters' moves. Did you play any of the other modes?
Nope, I did practice too because I was doing the exact same thing. There were so many characters.
Yeah, it's crazy, and it's really exciting to see all these. It's more a nostalgia factor for me than anything. You know, come back to life. From all of my favorite shows, like the only thing I was missing was G Gundam. I don't know if you watched
G Gundam, no Supreme Gundam. Ah!
I used to watch that.
I'm Zebra Gundam.
Yeah, I used to watch that religiously with my mother after school when I was a young lad. But
I've got fond memories of that. I would have at least loved to see like Bolt Gundam, the Russia Gundam. That was arguably one of my favorites. Just how awesome it looked.
But I was glad to see, really more deeper cuts of mobile suits like the 8th MS team, which is one of my favorite offshoots of Gundam.
Great, great. I think it was an OVA, right? Or a miniseries?
It was a miniseries. It was a one-off that wasn't really tied to much else, but it was great.
Yep, they had, they even reached into that. And they had, like, even one thing that came out recently. I don't even think it was canon, but it was a movie. Where they had two, it was like the Heavy Lightning Gundam and then a super decked out Zaku. I think this Gundam had, like, four shields on it, on arms, just around it, blocking every which way. So yeah, it really reached out for some suits that weren't necessarily so common. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah. The visuals were okay. It was very arcadey in the sense of because I know this game is modeled off, like, in Japan they actually have like these gigantic arcade pods. Yeah, the ones that, like, you know, in Dave and Buster's nowadays you can sit into like a Star Wars game and it's like a giant pod, but they have those but for Gundam in Japan. So
yeah, in the Japanese arcade versions you actually die when you lose.
You die in the game, you die in real life.
No holds barred action.
So I don't know, I saw there were arcade modes and an online mode, which I assume you can play against other people and the AI.
There's like a big boss mode too, where you can get with, I think, like three other people, three people total, and you just have one of the massive style Gundam bosses that have appeared in the anime throughout the years, and you just all go to town on it.
Oh, no way, I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a great mode. So... all this considered, all these factors that we just talked about, the price we looked into it and it was revealed that it would be $60 USD at launch. What do you think about that price point, Brad?
Can't justify spending a cold hard $60 for this game. I'm certain it'll go down given time, but also it's Gundam, so who knows? I mean, it's already had its day internationally, so now it's getting the U.S. where it's not as prominent, but it still has a very strong following. I can't do the initial price. I gotta wait for it to come down. Like, the nostalgia train, I love it, but it's not enough to keep me going, like, over and over. It's not like, for me, I'm a huge Overwatch fan. It doesn't give me the same flair style. It's just not the same type of game as Overwatch is, even though it's online, so I just, can't do it.
I totally agree with you. I think I can maybe bite the bullet at like a $30 price point, maybe $35 if I'm stretching it. But the value proposition of just it seems light on content. It's heavy on the character models, but it's light on content in terms of
actual gameplay. You know, it's limited to an extent, but it's fun for what it is. But it's not absurdly rich in terms of like game modes, things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, yes, it was fun to just kind of goof around and play all the mobile suits from your childhood, but at the current asking price, I really can't recommend it to anyone at launch.
Unfortunately, neither can I. Believe me, I want to in the worst way, but, you know, my inner 10-year-old is kicking me so hard in the ass right now, but I just can't.
Yeah, if they made it free to play, though, you know, I might have jumped
on it. Oh, absolutely.
And then
you'd have to... I guarantee if they did free-to-play, they would make you pay for certain suits after, you know, like the initial rollout roster. Like, hey, you want the really badass suits? Oh, but you gotta pay a little bit. I could live with that, actually.
I would definitely prefer that method as well, because I could kind of cherry-pick the mobile suits that I really liked, as opposed to being overwhelmed with all of them that I really don't know. I didn't know, like, 40% of them, and I'm, like, a huge Gundam nerd.
Dude, there were a fair bit I didn't know either, but I'm glad they didn't have, like... I'm glad they had certain units dedicated to only, like, the strike button, or, like, oh, you send them in as a co-op companion, like a Marvel versus Capcom. They like, that system going on. At least they didn't make, like, the gem or the ball, like, a main character. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm so stoked to play this one.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's going to wrap up our conversation about Gundam versus Beta. Get it if you are really nostalgic and really want it, but otherwise, maybe wait for a price drop.
I'd agree.
All right, so that's going to do it for today. That's a good note to close a show on, I believe. So, thank you again, Bradley, for joining me. I hope we can have more of these discussions in the future.
Oh, absolutely. Count on it.
Great. Well, so you can find, as I said earlier, our stuff on theappageeks.com, which is our website where you can find articles about art, movies, games, TVs, whatever. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/theappageeks. You can find us on Twitter at TheAppageeks, or you can get in contact with us directly. I'm at JRussTerrier, and Brad, you are...
At Brad.
The very first one. Brad Ground Zero. I believe you're at Bradley McGinn, too.
Correct.
Don't quote me on that. Or five. I'm not quite sure at this point. But yeah, that's all we got for now. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.